In this podcast, you may hear topics about suicide, mental health, other kinds of emotional crisis. If you find yourself being startled by this or currently experiencing something like is being talked about, especially suicide, I want to encourage you to reach out. The number 988 is a suicide crisis hotline, or you can reach out to myself also. But know that you are loved and take care.
Jesus, please don't be mad. I know that it makes you sad when I simply don't obey.
Hey, welcome to Faiths of Appalachia, hidden stories of faith and value. This is a podcast where we explore personal stories of spirituality in the midst of a culture that's seen as so monocultural. What we're going to do is do a deep dive into personal stories as we hear a person explore their spirituality, things that are important to them, and all of the things that we might get into. I'm Rob Music. I'm a priest and also a chaplain. And I want to introduce you to some people who I think are amazing, some of my friends who are new and old. And I want to thank our sponsors, our grant sponsors, the National Endowment for Humanities, Kentucky Humanities. And today I have a special guest, Bobby Preston. I've known for a little bit now, but I think today we'll actually get to know each other a lot better. So I'm excited about it.
Me too.
And we were just talking before we got on here. You're just such a young man. Here I am, an old, and you're a young man now.
You're not that much older.
That's right. So you're already earning great favor points with me when you say I'm not that much older. So Bobby, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I don't know how much of me you all can see on camera, but I'm a paraplegic from a birth defect. I am about to be 31, 2 weeks from today. I feel like I'm 80 though. Some days, but other days I actually feel my age.
Okay.
And I know one of the questions you're going to get into, which we can get into that later, but I'm actually writing a book.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that book. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I just got off of a podcast a little bit ago about that very subject, the book.
Oh, nice.
I had two scheduled for today. And so you were one of them. The first one was at 1, and you're the one I'm recording now.
So you're an ambitious writer.
Yes.
You're a young man, and you know, you live in a residential setting with
yes.
people, because we were talking about how you transitioned from living with your mom to now living over here. But what other things? I mean, do you love books? Do you love
yes.
movies? You
love I love TV? Reading.
You love reading. You got that from your mom.
Yes. She was an avid reader. I was adopted. That was one of the subjects I was going to touch on today. I was adopted. She took me in when I was 7. The adoption wasn't finalized, so I was 14, though. But when she took me in, she had a room that was full of books. Ceiling to floor, door frame to door frame, nothing but books. Stacked 3 deep. And, I mean, it was probably over 10,000 books.
Wow.
Like, that's how much of an avid reader she was.
So you almost kind of raised up by a library.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we actually had to throw the books out because we had to set up a room for me. And that was the only room she had. So we really kind of had to throw away her books. But,
when
I throw them away, put them in the basement.
Yeah.
And then they got ruined.
Oh, gosh.
By flooding that happened down there in the basement. So.
Yeah, Eastern Kentucky is going to flood, right?
Then they got the Kindle out. They brought out the Kindle, and she started using that. And she still was an avid reader, and she got me interested in a book, James Patterson.
Oh yeah, okay.
I love James Patterson. I'll read anything of his.
Oh, that's cool. So it's like all about James Patterson.
I love him.
That's you let off. You talked about how you know. Your name, and I'm a paraplegic and all
yes.
that, but there's so much more to you than that.
Yes.
When you were growing up, did you have some kind of crazy, wild dream that you wanted to do or be?
Well, Really, the main thing I've always wanted to do, and I know that was one of the questions that you had for today, because I kind of went over the script but didn't really go over it. Or the questions, rather, not the script. But I've always wanted to be a writer.
Okay.
And I started writing my memoir a couple of years ago, and I've had to stop because of some hard stuff that has come up. And I just couldn't do it for a while. So I had to put it on pause.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a mental break, just kind of take the space.
Mentally and emotionally and, you know, kind of excuse myself from it, as much as I could.
Yeah. But, you know, part of what we're exploring is spirituality. Huge, broad topic.
Yes.
Can mean all kinds of things. You know, but typically we think about spirituality, we think about God.
Yes.
Peace, or, you know, these big broad topics. And I wonder for you, when you think about your own spirituality or faith, what's that like for you?
Well, when I was in my formative years, from birth to 6 years old, 6.5 years old, I was raised in an abusive home. And I mean, we were sent to church, but when we would get home from church, we would tell what we'd learned that day or that night or whatever. And then when we got finished telling what we had learned, we would be told that it was all lies.
Oh, wow. So here you are, coming from church, you're all excited, you're a little kid, you know, colored, did all that kind of stuff. And then it's like, oh, that's a lie.
Yeah. And I was raised like that for 6.5 years. And then I met what was my adopted mother, who has since passed. I met her, and she had fallen the year before. It was the year before she took me in. She had fallen off of a 2-step ladder.
Oh, okay.
And shattered every bone in her right leg.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, from the femur down.
Oh, wow.
Every bone went in the end of the next, even down into the foot.
Oh.
Shattered everything. And she had to have multiple surgeries on it. And they told her she would never walk again. She walked for 7 years after that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then they told her she shouldn't be driving. She drove anyway. Nurses are stubborn.
Yeah, okay. So she was a nurse.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Nurses are very stubborn. Well, my mother was anyway. And she drove for a few years after that. Until she nearly killed us both in a near fatal car accident.
Oh.
We almost hit somebody.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She was diabetic, and she had ulcer, you know, the whole nine yards. And she went to put her foot on the brake and put it on the gas pedal instead. And almost sent us under a coal truck.
Oh, my goodness.
So she quit. It scared the crap out of her. So she quit driving after that. And, you know, we had a driver, you know, up until the day she passed away. And,
so it sounds like for her, I mean, so you have this one period when you're growing up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, like you talk about your formative years.
Yes.
So you're about 6.5.
Yes.
Keep hearing all this stuff in church is a lie. Then you go into now your mom's home.
Yes.
And that you're so little then, right?
Yes.
But like, did faith take on a different vibe when you moved to her house?
Oh, yeah. It got a lot stronger because I survived the abuse that I endured for that 6.5 years that I was with my birth mother. And then when I moved in with a lady that I eventually started calling mom and actually meant mom when I was, you know, with her, she took me to church. And never once told me that, you know, this or that was a lie or whatever. And she'd always taught me, and I still believe this to this day, she had always taught me everybody has a different belief.
Okay.
Don't judge someone by, you know, their belief. As long as they believe in the one true God, it doesn't matter what, you know, what they believe.
Okay. So that for you, that became kind of like a really important thing to kind of hold on to the one true God.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, then, you know, did that take you into like a journey of going to church, or where did you find yourself kind of feeding your spirit?
She went to church every time the doors were open. If she wasn't sick or this didn't come up or that didn't come up, every time the doors were open, she would go to church. She would take me to church. It's kind of like one of those, I'm going to drag you whether you want to go or not.
Yeah, someone says, you know, they said I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church.
I know, right? Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. So, you know, she always drug me to church. And there was a while that I thought, why am I even letting her do this? I was told before this stuff was a lie, so you know why.
Yeah.
And then after a while, I started realizing, you know, because of my history of the childhood abuse and now having survived it up to that point, I started to realize, you know, maybe there is a God. Mm. But I did have doubts. There were times that I had doubts. I know that was one of your questions. I'm trying to answer them as I think of them. May not be in order, but I'm trying to answer them as I think of them. There were times that I did have doubts in God. Because to me, and then, you know, especially at such a young age, it's like, you know, if you're really there, why would you let this and that, you know, this and that happen? And then I had a therapist actually one time tell me, or say to me, that there must be a reason that I'm still here, because, I mean, I'm still here, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be getting ready to turn 31 2 weeks from today, you know, if I wasn't still here.
Yeah, so I mean, with that, so you have this, you know, growing up, you have to tackle childhood abuse, growing up at home, then you get, you know, adopted and dealing with, you know, the consequence, I mean, just being a paraplegic,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, you know, lots of reasons why you could have doubts, lots of reasons you could have anger, you could have questions about faith. I mean, for you, what were like some of the big topics that you were thinking about, wrestling with, doubting about?
Oh, the biggest one was, you know, the biggest question I've always asked. Constantly have always asked, and even still to this day, 29 years later, almost 29 years later, I'm still constantly questioning God as to why he let things happen that did happen.
Yeah.
Which we all do that. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
We all do that, but, you know, you have to realize, you know, there's going to be some bad stuff that happens in your life, but you have to realize someone is watching out for you. But if you don't realize that, then I think you're, I don't really know how to put it, but honestly, I think that if you don't believe in God, then, or doubt, you know, that there is one, then I think that there's really no hope for you.
Oh, got you. Okay. So really that's for you. It's like a place of hope, and that there has to be some kind of, you know, God has to be, in the end, kind of watching over you,
yes,
having a purpose.
Yes.
So those are some things that have really helped you.
Yes.
Navigate your own.
Yes.
I guess spiritual journey. So now, do you use a label for your spiritual? I mean, you see yourself as a Christian, or what do you see yourself as?
A Christian. Yes.
A Christian, okay. And any kind of other, you know, some people are like, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Christian.
I am Baptist, okay.
Okay.
I mean, there's only one, you know, church, but to me, there's only one church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but the different denominations, I don't really go with the denomination per se, but I do say sometimes that I am Baptist, because that's what I was raised up as.
Sure, yeah.
But I believe that there's only one church, and we're all going to be there, you know, one day.
Gotcha.
But, you know, but you have to believe in the one and only true God.
Yes, that's really important, the one and true God. One and only true God. You know, you mentioned something earlier about, you know, having disabilities.
Yes.
And so you're 30, going to be 31.
Yes.
But you live in a nursing home, right? And that's really unique,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not like a normal experience.
Right.
So how long have you done that? What's it like? What do you think people don't understand?
Well, I have lived here almost 5 years.
Okay.
In September, actually, that will be 5 years. September 10th or 12th will be 5 years. And it was right after my mother's passing. She passed away just out of the blue, right at the start of COVID.
Oh, wow.
You know, COVID hit in 2019. She died like a year and so many months later. And I ended up in the hospital the next day after the funeral. And then from there, I stayed in the hospital for a month. And then I ended up here. And I've been here ever since. And I'm not going to lie, Rob, there are things that I like about it. And then there's a lot of things that I really don't like about it. But I have a roof over my head. So, you know, I like to view it more as I'm blessed more than I'm cursed.
Okay.
In a way.
I mean, that's a really powerful framing of it, right?
Yes.
See your blessings, have gratitude. Like you said, you know, I got a roof over my head, right?
Yes. And clothes on my back and food to eat.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, your basic needs are being taken care
yes.
of. But here you are being surrounded by, you know, most people are a lot older than
yes.
you.
Yes. Yes.
So what's it like to be surrounded by a bunch of, well, you know, quote unquote, old people, I guess?
Well, it's a little unnerving. But I wouldn't change it for anything.
Okay, so tell me about that. So when you say, I wouldn't change it for that, really, like, I'm like, wow, I did not expect you to say that.
I know, I can tell when I said that. I can tell by the look you gave me when I said that.
Tell me more about that.
I wouldn't change it because I wouldn't be able to share my story. I wouldn't have met new people. I wouldn't be able to help people through, you know, what they're going through. Whatever it may be. And I wouldn't have made the friends that I've made here. And there's actually two or three that I consider my best friends. One is a worker and two are, some other people that are here.
Okay.
So really I've got like three best friends here and I wouldn't change anything for the world.
I mean, that's incredible, right? They really kind of make connections and make it your home and kind of dive in. I'm sure you see, like you say, a wide variety of people.
Yes.
Because there's about 100 people that live here. So it's very different than just like going back to your quiet old, you know, little cabin or whatever by
right.
yourself.
Right.
but when you have explored life now with a significant disability,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I know that there are hidden disabilities, invisible ones.
Yes.
You clearly, you know, you roll up in a wheelchair, it's like, oh, I can see that there's a disability
right.
involved, right? So what's it like to live with a disability?
Well, it's funny that you asked me that because I have mental disabilities as well and physical, obviously. I mean, you can obviously see the physical.
Mm-hmm.
But the mental, you know, nobody knows what goes on in somebody's mind constantly.
I can't,
you know, read your mind. I can't read his mind. I can only read my own mind. And a lot of what goes on in there ain't pretty.
Okay.
But I just, you know, I try to view it. The mental disabilities that I have or incapability, whatever you want to call them. I was going to say incapabilities, but I don't know if that's the right word. Mm-hmm. But I try to view it as I'm just challenged and I'm going to take on the challenge.
Yeah. Wow. So you just like lean into the
yes.
obstacles. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this. I can do that. And were there ever any moments when you were kind of like told no because you have a physical disability?
Oh, plenty.
Okay.
There were plenty of times. But, you know, I mean, you know, even with the abusive childhood and stuff, you know, I've always had, you know, a belief in God and whatnot. You know, I just kept it secret, you know, up until I got taken away for the umpteenth million time. But when I actually was out of the home for good, I made it, you know, I made a public declaration of, you know, my belief in God.
Okay.
And I got baptized at the age of 8.
Oh, okay.
And rebaptized a couple years ago.
Oh, so what led to that, the rebaptism?
I had straight away, because of mom's passing, unexpected passing, and that was another time I questioned God. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was constantly thinking, God, if you're real, why would you let this happen? Why would you let a child, well, an adult, really, because I'm an adult now. Some would disagree, but my mom would totally disagree if she was here.
Say no, no, no.
Yeah, she would totally disagree if she was here, but one of the questions I had, again, going back to, you know, the questions I used to ask God all the time, and one of them was, why did you choose me to have this happen to, you know?
Yeah, okay.
But, like, if you're real and you love me like people say you do, or you say you do, why are you letting this and that and the other happen?
Yeah, that's such a good, I mean, I appreciate that, like the deep, honest question about
that. I'm as honest as they come. I try to be.
Wide open, okay.
I'm wide open.
So with that, then, I mean, so when here you are asking that question, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a really, like, rugged, honest, hard question. Like, why is this stuff, like, you know? So have you ever felt like you've ever got, like, an adequate answer to that?
No.
Okay, so it's just one of those long-term, lifelong
yes.
questions you wrestle with.
Yes.
And then, but what have other people, I'm sure that people in the church or other people have said, tried to answer that for you. What have people said to you to try to answer that?
The big thing I've always heard is God doesn't put more on a person than he thinks that they can handle. And I've heard people say that's in the Bible, which I don't know that's in the Bible. I've never personally read that, yeah. You know. So I don't really know if that's, you know, the case or not. But, I mean, I have read the Bible, don't get me wrong, but I've never caught that in the Bible.
Yeah, right, yeah. Didn't stand out to you yet.
No. But, I mean, I do believe that, but I don't think I've ever actually read it, like, word for word, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, in word form.
Yeah.
In paper, you know, written form. And, but I've always believed that, but still, even at almost 31, I still question God as to why, you know, why did my mother and the guy that she was, my birth mother, let me clarify, my birth mother, and the guy she was living with have to be the way they were, abusive.
Yeah.
Then why did I have to nearly die before we were taken away for the umpteenth millionth time? Because we were taken away multiple times. Wow. Before the last time. The last time we were taken away was the final straw.
Okay, so that was the end all. That was it.
Yeah, and it was my doing. It was my doing. And if it hadn't been for that, I'd be dead right now. Literally, I would be dead right now.
Wow, so 6.5 would have been over.
Yeah. I was a month away from literally what the doctor said when we got taken for a checkup. The doctor literally looked at me and the people that were taking care of me at the time before I moved in with who I considered my actual mother. He looked at them and said, if he had been in the home a month later than what he was, what he has been, he would be dead. At 6.5 years old, I would have been dead if I had lived in the home a month later than what I originally did.
So the level of abuse.
And that was in March of 2000.
Man.
So that was 25 years ago.
Wow. So just like utter neglect and abuse.
Yes.
And having your life really shaped out of that.
Yes.
Is, I mean, what a painful start to life.
Yes, definitely. Oh, it was very painful. But I think what's even more painful, and this has kind of been rolling around in my head all day, what is even more painful is the memories that a person has to deal with. When they're in an abusive situation like that, whether you're an adult or a child, I think it's even more painful to have to deal with the memories 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, you know, however many years you're alive later.
You know, there's a person who says that, you know, our body never forgets.
Yes.
The stories, correct, right? And so as you bring this stuff up in your, because I mean, heck, you're living your days out and you're not trying to bring up this stuff, but then it comes up,
yes,
in your mind.
Exactly.
Right? And so when that happens and like some terrible memory comes up or you have a nightmare, I mean, how in the world do you handle that?
Well, to tell the truth,
yeah,
there are times that I get suicidal, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Which I think anybody does, you know, at times. And yeah, anybody that does, that says that they don't, I'm sorry, I'm gonna look at you and call you a liar.
Yeah.
That's just me. But, you know, I have actually, speaking of suicide, I've actually tried to kill myself several times.
Wow, okay.
Even after becoming a Christian, I've even tried.
Yeah, so really wrestling with, and I appreciate your just honesty to be able to kind of explore some of the stuff. And when you get to that place where you feel like, okay, I've got to like end this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it because of the past, or what kind of leads you to that space?
Yes, it's because of the past and the memories. And my first memory, I was just telling the lady I was just doing another podcast with, that my first memory comes from when I was two. Mm. And it's not a good memory. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. It's not a good memory.
2 years old, and my first memory was not a good memory. No child should have a memory that young that is a negative memory.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't care who you are. I don't care. You shouldn't have a memory at 2 years old that is a negative memory. You should always, to me, your memories should be positive. At least, you know, to me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I know that's not always going to be the case with everybody, but, that wasn't the case. But there are days that I can shove it under the rug, and then there's days that it's overwhelmingly unbearable.
Just becomes too much,
right? And it's just like, I would be better off if I was dead.
And when you hit that place, what on earth like keeps you going?
God.
Okay. I mean, I think that's,
to be truthful,
you know, so you have this like, I almost have this image of a two-sided coin, right?
Yes.
It's like, I have all these questions of like, God, why did you let this happen? Why was I born in this home? Why did these things happen? So you have these really honest questions, and then and at times go completely unanswered, right? There's just no answer to this.
Yes.
Ask. And then when you get to the place where you're feeling really hopeless or just like this doesn't have any purpose anymore, but then God gives you that purpose or meaning,
right,
or hope. And so it's really, it's kind of like the, you know, two sides of the same
double-edged sword.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that, yeah, double-edged sword, right? I think that's really fascinating. I mean, and it has to be hard.
Oh yeah,
to play that balance.
Yes. I mean, there are days that I get so stuck in the past that I literally cannot make myself get out of bed.
Okay.
Like, it's, no pun intended here, but it's literally almost paralyzing.
Yeah, okay.
There are some days that I'm literally feel like I'm paralyzed from like here down.
Gotcha.
Because it's so, because the memories and the, you know, the this and the that and whatnot, it's so overwhelming that I don't want to get out of bed.
So, and you know, you said that, I mean, that's a powerful image, right? Of kind of up to your neck and just paralyzing.
Yes.
Can't move, just have to stay in my bed. But then somehow God gives you hope. I mean, can you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, how does that work for you?
Well, I'm going to go to a quick backstory, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
My first suicide attempt was when I was 18. And I actually lied to mom about it. And I done what I done. And then I was fading, I was starting to fade. As I was fading out, I heard, "I've got you."
Ooh, wow.
And I opened my eyes, and there was no one in the room. And I thought, wait a minute, where did that come from? Then I heard it again. And again, and again, and again. I mean, it was like over and over and over and over. And then it was like, okay, this is God. You know, it's God. And I knew after a couple minutes, it was like, okay, this is God. And I knew all along that it was.
Yeah.
But at first, you know, when you're in that moment of, oh, I wish this didn't happen, I want to die, yada, yada, yada. You don't want to even, at least I didn't, want to even acknowledge God.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, just shove him under the rug.
Yeah, because all this stuff's happened, right?
So yeah.
It's like, I don't owe you anything, God.
Yeah. It's like you owe me more, you know.
Yeah.
Like you owe me, I don't owe you,
right,
kind of
exactly,
thing.
Yeah.
Which, it's been hard to come, you know, to terms with my past, but at my age, I realized the only way that I'm going to heal is coming to terms with my past.
That, yeah, I mean, you know, as you look at your life, it's like, okay, this keeps coming up, I'm going to have to address
face it,
this.
Yes.
Yeah, to face it. And you have this history of just doing one hard thing after the next. Mm-hmm. And here
yes.
you are. I mean, even when we were hanging out last week for
yes.
a few minutes, you got this positive energy about you, just an infectious smile. It's like, here's this guy that just radiates a lot of goodness about him. Heck, you were at the front of the door, right? And I was like, hey, look at this guy. He's just got so much energy, you know?
Yeah.
And really sets the stage for other people to have a better day. And, you know, when you talk about your struggles, both physical and invisible struggles
mm-hmm.
that we've talked about,
yes.
you know, and then also you live with this just deep desire. You want to write your story.
Yes.
You want to be a writer.
Yes.
What? I mean, you know, I know you talk about growing up and being surrounded by
right.
books, but why write?
Because we all have a story, good or bad.
Yeah.
And there's actually a book, if I may mention it. There's actually a book that inspired me to start writing my own story, and that was Chrissy Metz. But Metz, you know, the show This Is Us?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was a star of that show. And she wrote a book called This Is Me, about her story of some abuse that she went through as a child. Not as severe as mine, but, you know, still. Well, I won't say it was, you know, wasn't as severe as mine, but still, you know, there were some things that happened to her that also happened to me, and some things that happened to me that didn't happen, you know. And I read her book, and I sobbed reading it.
Wow.
I mean, like, ugly crying, tears flowing, face scrunched in, just sobbing. And I thought, if someone as famous as her, and she's only famous because of the one show.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Well, I mean, she's famous because of the other shows, but that's what got her start.
Yeah, yeah, that was her launch, yeah.
That was her launch, the launch of her career. I thought, if someone like her, who is not well-known, could write her story and be so transparent and brave about it, and, you know, what have you, if she can write her story, and she's got the fame, and people want to read her story, why can't I, a person who is not famous, who is not trying to get famous,
yeah.
mind you, write my story, and even if I don't publish it, which I plan to do,
mm-hmm.
Self-publish.
Shameless plug for book.
Yeah. Yeah, shameless plug. But I read something in her book. I can't remember what the quote was, but I read something in her book, and it sparked, it lit up that spark in me to go, you know what? You have a story. You need to tell it.
I think that's, everybody has this story, right?
Yes.
And you've got a story that's worthy of sharing.
Yes.
and getting out there, not because you're trying to be famous, but just because you want to, it's helpful for you to share it,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
To get it out. And
yes. And I even said this on the other podcast I just did before before this one, that even if you don't publish your book or, you know, your story or, you know, what have you, or share it with somebody, even if it's just for your own personal eyes, write it out. And then one thing that has helped me, Rob, is writing my story and then writing certain things and then either erasing it.
Okay.
Or my favorite thing to do is writing out a letter to those who hurt me and cussing them all to pieces, what, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to see that.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
So you can really say what you want. Nobody but God's going to know.
That's right.
Unless you show them. But one thing that's always helped me is someone told me one time, write down what you need to write, get it all out, and burn it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Put it in the fire.
Yeah, put it in the fire.
And that's actually what I said on the other thing I just done before this. And I may call the book that, Put It in the Fire.
Oh, put it in. I love that. That's cool.
I actually got that suggestion from the other podcast I just did.
Put it in the fire. Well,
yeah.
You know, as we're wrapping up here, you know, if I were just some rando and I was walking in here to see other people and I saw you, what would you want someone to know about you?
There's more to me than the eye can see. I'm not just some wacko.
Jury's out on that one.
Well, maybe I am, but not shame. No, I'm not ashamed to say it. Maybe I am crazy.
Well, we all are in some ways.
The sad part is I've got papers to prove it.
That's right, yes.
But what I want people to know about me the most is my faith is unwavering.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things that really stands out to me is that I love the idea of the possibility to title your book, Right yes. in the Fire. And you really have been in the fire of life.
Yes.
I mean, all kinds of things we've recounted and talked about today. And yet, you know, there's this interesting notion in the Bible of how things go into the fire because they're purified, mm-hmm. and that which is, you know, real and accurate will endure the fire and come out and be, you know, be purified. And I see this in your journey, right, is that you've been being refined and purified in life. And, you know, this gem of a person is evolving from it because you just refuse to give up hope.
Oh, yeah. I refuse to give up. I don't care what comes my way, who tries to get in my way. I will kick you where it hurts.
Because you're going to keep on going.
I'm going to keep on going, come hell or high water, as they say.
I love it. I love it. Well, hey, man, I just appreciate you hanging out, sharing a little bit about your journey. And, you know, I just appreciate you very much. You've given me hope today. And for that, I'm really eternally grateful.
Well, you're welcome. And I thank you for having me.
Cool. Thanks.
Jesus, please don't be mad. I know that it makes you sad when I simply don't know.